Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You think about the person in your life when you started believing you more than anyone else. They're the ones that make the sacrifices. When I walk out, my old man's next to me. They're not just looking at you, they're looking at what made you. I want them talking about our fucking game. I want them talking about us. Well, enjoy your lunch.
Welcome, listeners, to The Extra Inch. My name's Windy, and I'm joined by my sidekick and best friend, Bardi. Hello, Bardi.
Hello, Windy.
And our tactics guy, and a man who simply won't pay the prices you want, Daniel Levy. It's Nathan A. Clark. Hello, Nathan.
Maybe I should try to negotiate a 5-year payment plan with it. No, never mind. I can't afford to go along with that joke. And actually, to be honest, there's like a case to be made that it's not a good conflation to make. So I want to take that back. I want to walk that back.
So full disclosure, we're recording this straight after the main pod on Monday, 11th of March. We ran really long in the pod and we thought we need to do the season ticket conversation justice. And so we've sort of created space to do that. And I mean, I've been a little out of the loop. I've been away. I've had a very nice trip to Budapest, which my wife got me for my 40th birthday. So I've been a little bit out of the loop on all this stuff. But I did read Bardi's fantastic blog article on our Patreon. And I read some tweets about this. I thought Michael Cox raised a really interesting point, which we can talk about as part of this discussion. But Bardi, you are the only season ticket holder amongst us, and you had some thoughts.
Yeah, the season ticket is something that once my kind of career changed and I was able to have the kind of regular working pattern, a season ticket to go and watch Spurs on the weekend was something that I waited for a long time. And then when I finally got one, when we moved to Wembley, it was just like, it was almost like achievement completed. I'm now, does this give me value, or does this kind of like make me an official Spurs fan? Because I'm a season ticket holder. You could put it in your Twitter bio, proud season ticket holder at Tottenham, because it was something I'd always wanted. And since I've had the season ticket, it's been a very strange kind of relationship with Tottenham. I've found myself more and more becoming just something that they just plug into and take money from. And I haven't found the whole kind of relationship with the club as kind of unifying as I expected. And perhaps that's me looking for something, looking for love in a place where it's just pure transaction related. I pay my money, I go to watch the game. That's what they want from me. They want me to go there and spend the money. But I found that as they've milked me more, I've decided I could just treat Tottenham the same way I treat everything else. I don't have to go to the cinema every week to watch every single film. I could pick and choose what I'm going to do. So I'm, and it takes a lot of guts to do this, because this is something I've really wanted. And this is Tottenham Hotspur, man. It's something I spend pretty much all my day thinking about, just cutting them off and just deciding to use that money for the betterment of my well-being and my life and my family life and just my general day-to-day, spend that money elsewhere and still support Tottenham, but in the way that the majority of people do, because the majority of people aren't season ticket holders. And when I want to go to the Arsenal game or the City game, I just have to organise myself and go. So yeah, contemplating giving up my season ticket. And it's difficult, especially when you've seen a smash Villa and the kind of sense of optimism of what could be coming around the corner. Giving that up is difficult, but I think I have to, because I just can't keep squeezing myself into this.
So for you, it's the literal impact of the 6% rise of the cost of the price, or is it more the principle?
It's a lot of the principle. I mean, around it, there's the, I moved out of London. So it's obviously I've got petrol, trains, tube, and then everything else that comes along with it, the match day experience of the beer, the food, none of that's going down. Spurs started at a very kind of approachable price to get people in the stadium. But since then, they've just started to match the high street. So it's the money, but it's also the principle of it. And I just think the 6% is so small. Like, had they said almost 15% or something like that, then it would be like, okay, there's real issues at the club that they need to generate income. But it's the fact that it's 6%, it's so small, it seems so unnecessary. And it's that little dagger in the ribs. Because had they said, shit, man, we need to pay off the stadium debt, so we're going to have to go 10% just to make our ends meet, then almost you can understand it. But 6%, they're taking the piss, man.
Reminds me of when I used to earn minimum wage and the like exact minimum wage and the impression that would give me of like, if I could pay you any less, then I would, you know, if I could get away pay. And like with Spurs here, it's like, okay, we're basically going to rise just under inflation because that's what, you know, we've got a team, like, unlike enough fucking recruitment for the last 20 years, we've got a team of laptop nerds who are going to run the numbers and work out the exact right amount for how much we think we can squeeze out of you without, like, if we go to 7, then we might get a protest. But 6%, that's what we've calculated is, yeah, we can just nick that out of your pocket and that's okay, kind of thing.
Totally. That's exactly what they've done. You're right. That 6%, it's the least amount. So even I feel pathetic complaining about it. And Bardi, this is the moment you decide to get political for the first time in your life. And it's 6%. That's it.
What so is it, like 30, 40 quid?
Yeah, it's so minor, but that's exactly how you described it, the kind of minimum wage. That's what's really upset me about it. If you're going to increase it, for fuck's sake. Don't just squeeze this money out of me unnecessarily for what, £2.4 million a year overall for everybody?
Because that's then pointless. They're going to squeeze another 6% next year and another, you know. Yeah. It's just the implication of the eternal squeeze.
But there has been like difference in of different opinions of this, and probably we should get onto the emails that we've received. There is a lot of people saying, what are you complaining about? But yeah, I think we should probably get cracking with those.
Yeah, so let's give some context. So this is from Kayrie Duckett, who is from the US. Kayrie says, please help me understand, as an overseas fan, the consternation over ticket prices. My wife and I make it across the pond once or twice a season and find Spurs tickets to be priced at an exceptionally reasonable level compared to our local NFL, NHL, NBA tickets. Last year, I heard someone from the Trust say price rises aren't fair because fans can't choose another team if they're priced out. Football tickets aren't compulsory goods, and just because you can't buy a season ticket doesn't mean you have to cheer for a different team. It means you watch the game on TV or a stream like the vast majority of Spurs fans across the globe and make it to the occasional game, like my family. And if I can just offer a little bit of context around the sort of the situation in the UK at the moment, we've been in recession for a long time. We've had essentially a couple of decades of austerity. Our public services are on the floor. The NHS is almost at breaking point. We literally have schools crumbling. We have a problem with concrete and they haven't been serviced properly. So school roofs are falling in, and that is not an exaggeration. I work in an education institution where there are crumbling buildings. There's problems in the UK. Meanwhile, prices for everything are rising drastically. A weekly food shop is probably on average about 20% more than it was 5 years ago. It's quite difficult. It's challenging. And I have friends who earn good wages who are thinking of selling up their houses because they can't afford their mortgage rates, and are thinking of moving into rented accommodation because it's cheaper in the short term, even though long term, obviously, they will gain. But they can't afford their mortgage right now. So things are hard at the moment. And that's sort of the context that this decision is made within. So Spurs, one of the richest clubs in the world, one of the most self-sustaining clubs in UK football, have made a decision to raise ticket prices and to completely get rid of the concessions prices for season tickets. And that is undoubtedly going to have an impact on fans.
Last time we had a question similar to this from an American fan, I made a flippant comment that upset people. I want to try this again, but I also am not going to hide the fact that I feel very passionately about this. From an American perspective, yeah, tickets to Spurs games are much, much cheaper than they are to NFL, NHL, NBA tickets. But that is because the American sports system is absolutely fucked. And we as fans, you say in your question here how, like, what's the exact phrasing? Sorry. They're not compulsory goods. I pretty much disagree with exactly that statement. We as fans, long-term fans of our football club, we are our football club, right? We have a moral right to our football club. And that is not the case in the US. And that's wrong. That's a crime. That's a real shame. And so the reason that we are kicking and screaming is because we cannot allow that to happen to our sport. That will be, I'm trying not to get too extreme with my words, but that would be a travesty within the realms of sports, right? The American sports experience, is a solely commercial one, and that is not what football is. Football is community, and what the club are doing here is exploiting our community, exploiting our sense of community, exploiting our sense of belonging. I go to less Spurs games than I used to because I go on the ticket exchange and it's like fucking 200 quid to go see a game sometimes, you know, with the ones that are left. My dad had to give up his season ticket because he got priced out. That's not right. That's not right that fans are getting priced out. This is not how it should be. A trip to a Spurs game shouldn't be a rare commercial treat. We should be entitled to we are morally entitled to our football clubs.
And you guys were talking about the price elasticity of demand earlier. What's the price point by which the demand will go down? And
Much higher.
Because you could put this a lot. You could move the prices
double
a lot. Sure, and the stadium would be full. Because we're really good. We're a really good team with really good players, and there's huge demand to get tickets to the game. I mean, Kayrie, I'm sure if you weren't a member, you would be able to buy tickets on the black market for an absolute fortune, and you'd do it because it's the club you love and you don't come over to this country all that often and you just want to see your team play when you do. There's plenty of people that do that, that pay a lot of money.
There's a reason why everybody gets so obsessed with tourists in the stadium. Oh, look at all these tourists. It's because that the tickets are there to be sold. Individuals who have season tickets don't go. So I'm not here for the Man City game. I'm out of the country, so I'm going to sell my ticket. That's £78. You could sell your tickets and sell it because the demand is there. Not once this season, under Conte or under Stellini/Mason, I was putting my ticket on exchange and they weren't being sold. The demand for Tottenham right now is amazing. And it's because we're really good. And that's the difficulty. That's when the club gets you with stuff like this. You have a season ticket because you hope and pray for moments where, like, we get to a cup final and you've got a season ticket, so you basically get a ticket for the final. And they prey on that kind of that hope and that sense of belonging, and they just keep squeezing you and squeezing you. But I've just had enough, and it hasn't even been that long to me. I don't know how some people have managed to do it for 30, 40 years, but I just can't do it anymore. It's just not that much. And not going to Tottenham doesn't make me less of a fan, although going to Tottenham is my kind of USP on this podcast. That's why I'm a proper football man instead of a laptop. So I don't know, but maybe I'm going to have to start looking at stats now and bring a whole new body to the pod.
Well, let's address that, right? Because I think that as much as we have a duty on this podcast to represent fans, one that I feel anyway, even if I'm imagining it. Some listeners will say, well, look, like, you're making money out of being Spurs fans. You're making money out of other Spurs fans. You're monetizing your fandom. Isn't a season ticket just a reasonable expense for us to make, and match tickets are just an expense for me to make, and travel is just a reasonable expense within our budget? We pay guests on this podcast. We pay for audio equipment. Help us work through that.
You mean, like, should we be, should, like, I've often, since I started doing blogging back in the early days, I've always felt that for me to give an authentic voice, I had to be there. I had to see what was happening. And I still think that's true. I still think there's things that I pick up in the stadium that I feel you two miss. And but I can't stomach this customer. I can't stomach being a customer to Tottenham's whims of throwing money around. I just can't. That's where it is for me right now. Is I still love Tottenham dearly and will continue to love them. But there's a moment where you're walking up the high road and it's just like, do they give a shit if it's me? They don't care if it's me. They'd be happy if it wasn't me, because I'm not spending too much money at the moment. They'd be happy if it wasn't me. And it's trying to balance, authenticity of being a Tottenham fan and talking about Tottenham, but they're not willing just to pay the money just because I can. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, you know?
I mean, isn't there even an authenticity in saying this is too much for me to pay right now? This is an unreasonable amount of money for me to pay. Aren't you being the average Tottenham fan now that the average Tottenham fan is becoming priced out of their club?
I think so. It's been a difficult few years. Of course, you put yourself in those situations by moving out of London, getting a mortgage and everything else. But this is just one. Going to every single game is just not top of my priorities right now. And I will just treat Tottenham like they treat me, as a service, and pick and choose when I go. And I will feel better. I think my relationship with Tottenham will become healthier almost than it is right now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So we got this from James Sullivan. He says, I think the reason for the price rise is pretty obvious. It is to incentivize more use of the ticket exchange. The 6% rise is not just about the extra ticket revenue for the club, but it will incentivize legacy fans to sell their tickets on the exchange to claw money back. This includes OAPs. Why go to Luton at home when you can get £70 to £100 back for your season ticket? Matchday revenue also relates to what fans spend in the ground and in the shop too. I reckon the club has data on all of this based on age and demographics. I imagine that they quickly worked out that a fan who goes less regularly is more likely to spend extra money on matchday compared to an OAP that goes to 19 games a season. This is also why the small print in the ticket charter says that each season ticket must be used 15 times a season. It's fine for anyone else to take it, but it must be used. This is a reasonable policy, but the intentions are clear. Matchday revenue in the club shop and bars matter. Empty seats don't spend extra money.
It's true.
I mean, that is true for me. I don't go anywhere near as much as I used to, probably 20% of what I used to go. And so when I do go, you know, by the time I've bought my round for the X-Hubs and bought some food, I've spent a fortune in the bar, in the catering areas, and Spurs do pretty well out of me.
Yeah, I mean, it don't help how much train tickets cost right now, right? And I know that's not Spurs' fault, but it is relevant to what you were saying earlier about the general cost of living. Yeah, like most of the time I go to Spurs now, it's because a listener has been very kind, and I understand how privileged I am for that. I've been very kind to offer me a spare ticket that they have, but I'm still forking out a ton of money on my meal out, my train ticket there, my train ticket back, and any drinks I have along the way. It really adds up. I think, I don't know. It feels a bit conspirational, I guess, but I think there's a pretty strong argument to be made there that inviting the ticket exchange and getting in fans who will buy a shirt during their one trip to the stadium a year is an incentive. I can see that.
I think this ticket exchange is a really good thing, but it's also a really bad thing, because one of the most exciting things about when they opened the new stadium and I had my season ticket, the first thing I did was go to see my seat. And I had a look at my seat and I said, this is mine, you know, this is mine. And I wonder who's going to be to my left, who my right in front of me, who are these people going to be? And I got excited at that kind of idea of regular faces, regular people, hearing the kind of conversations and everything else around it, and just building a kind of rapport almost with the people around you. But in my new seat, it wasn't so much in my previous one, but in my new seat, it's not the same faces at all. Every game is different. There's not that sense of community, which in my head, and I know some people have that, legacy fans who moved from the old White Hart Lane to the new White Hart Lane. They've moved in groups or blocks and they have the same people around them. But as someone who's still looking for that, I haven't found a home at the new stadium. I've moved season ticket 3 times in search of a community of people. And because it's so easy to flip your money to a tourist, because it's so easy to flip your ticket to a tourist, you don't get that anymore. Because even if you can't be bothered on the day, you can just list it and someone will buy the ticket. The demand is unbelievable. So I think for me, one of the things I've lost is a real connection to the people around me and to the kind of the boardroom at Tottenham, which has impacted my decision. And it's sad because right now we have a really great group of kids, man, with Italian players. I've longed all my life to have good Italian players at Tottenham. So I feel like I should really be connected to this team. But just everything else around Tottenham has kind of pushed me away.
So I mentioned Michael Cox's tweet at the start of this. Let me read what Michael said. He had quote tweeted a story from Jack Pitbrook that he'd written for The Athletic. That Jack's tweet said, Tottenham fans outraged by a 6% season ticket hike and erosion of senior concessions. And then he has 3 quotes. It's outrageous, ungracious and ungrateful. It's simply disgusting. It breaks our heart. And Michael quote tweeted this saying, I realise this is part of a wider justified anger about ticket prices, but the idea that 66-year-olds should be entitled to a concessionary rate while 22-year-olds pay full whack is quite obviously outdated and the opposite of what should be happening in this day and age. And I thought that it might be worth just adding to the sort of contextual information I gave earlier to say that the massive problem with housing in this country and specifically in London, young people have no chance of buying a property in London unless they've inherited a huge amount of wealth.
I've noticed.
Are born into wealth or are working as traders, as I know. But not only can they not afford to buy a property in London, it's very, very difficult for young people to even rent a room in London. Such are the prices and the demand for anything that comes onto the rental market. So I have friends, I know people who have been in lists of interested parties for rooms in flat shares. Like someone will have a list of 10 people and they'll interview them and they'll pick their favorite. And then even then it'll go to an auction, essentially, what's the most you're willing to pay. It's really ridiculously expensive to live in London right now. And so I think the point Michael's making is that a lot of older people have a house that they're secure with and in a lot of cases, hopefully a lifestyle that they're happy with and are comfortable. Whereas young people are having to stay at home longer because they've got no way to move out of home. And therefore, why should they be persecuted in this way? Or why should older people who are potentially wealthier be given a concessionary price? And I must agree that I agree with the point that Michael's making. I don't have a problem with that aspect of the changes that Spurs have made personally, although I understand that many fans do, because it's kind of the idea that someone's given so much to Spurs, paid into the club for so long, that they kind of deserve something back for their loyalty over a number of years. And, you know, my dad is one of those people. He is someone who's been a fan since he was his teens, has spent a fortune following the club over many years. But he's also financially comfortable compared to a lot of people. So it's a tough one. I understand there are strong views on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, long-term listeners of the podcast will be aware that I have some strong political opinions. I'm reluctant to get into like a generational mudslinging exercise here. While it is true that there is a significant generational wealth gap, there are poor people over the age of 65, 100%. Right? 100%. So like, I don't know. This one has been tricky for me, to be honest. Someone sent me a DM about a call to action about the OAP concessions thing. It's difficult because, like, I want all of the concessions there could possibly reasonably be to be there. But I also agree with Michael Cox and others that OAPs aren't the highest priority, that on the whole, people in their 20s are poorer than people in their 60s right now. So, yeah, I get it. I want to be fighting all of the fights. I don't want to be losing any ground to Spurs. Yeah. So I want to say, you can have this one, you know, because I know what's next after that.
Yeah, it's a really good point. But I mean, even from a cynical perspective, maybe Spurs should be incentivizing ticket prices for younger people because they're the ones who are going to be supporting the club in 50, 60 years from now. But generally, I do think young people have got it so hard in London, the surrounding areas in particular at the moment. It's so difficult. I work with a lot of young people, and the concept of them getting on the property ladder is just, it's impossible.
Yeah.
So if there's something that could be done to support younger people and support them going to watch the club they love, then I'd be all for that personally.
I mean, it's a classic tactic of pitting the fan base against each other to avoid what the real
divide and rule.
Divide and rule. The real issue is Tottenham raising ticket pricing once again. So the fact they have young people and just make a fair rate for everybody instead of pitting people against each other. But I completely agree. Yeah. Young people are the heart and soul of the club. They are the ones that will generally make the most noise. They're the ones that will take the traditions and then carry those on over 10, 15 years. And if you don't get people into the club watching the games, then eventually that will come back and hurt them.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other side of the argument is that Spurs' costs have gone up too. And if we want to remain if we want to sustain our significant financial advantages, we need to maximise profit so that we can wield the revenue in the transfer market and become a better and better club. So Andrew Lay sent us a very long, very detailed email, which was really interesting, actually. In one of his later paragraphs, he says, "But to summarise, in most of what I've read about the issues, I've seen a lot of incumbent fans bemoaning the fact that their ticket price has ceased to fall in real terms, ignoring the fact that they pay a measurable percentage of median incomes for the rights and privileges they get, a willful ignoring of the trade-offs which inevitably exist, even if approached from a pure anti-profit point of view. But most of all, in a context of oversubscribed demand, ignoring those who are rationed out of the market rather than priced, we are fans too. Nathan has previously bemoaned his difficulty to get into games, often from a price perspective, but policies below market rate price increases for incumbents, which over time prioritise season ticket holders, hurts the sheer availability for the rest of us, both casual observers and those on the waiting list." It's tough. I understand that Spurs want to remain as competitive as possible. I understand the need to maximise profit. I understand that fans are demanding the new shiny player on the market every season. And it's important that we're competitive. It's important that we have the best team we can possibly get. But what's more important, I think, is the community that supports Spurs on a fortnightly, on a weekly basis. And in my opinion, Spurs should prioritise those people above all others as they move forward. And the amount of goodwill they could have maintained by freezing season ticket prices this year is huge. I feel like we have so many opportunities to garner goodwill amongst the fan base, and we never take them. And that is a damn shame.
Yeah, there can't be two good things happening at the same time as Spurs, right? It's the football or something else.
Like, pretty much 2 days before the season ticket announcement, we were talking about Daniel Levy and his impact at Tottenham, and we said he's always just one turn away from a disaster. And it is that we've already got the most expensive season tickets in the Premier League. Maybe there's one at Fulham, but on average, the most expensive season tickets. We don't get cup games included as part of the package either, so we have to pay on top of that as well. And there's an opportunity here to take the goodwill and take the movement and everything else and really build some momentum and do something brilliant. But they went chasing £2.4 million. And it's just, that's the real sad thing in it, that they messed it up.
Yeah, £2.4 million. Just, you know, just don't buy bad players for a summer and you make 10 times that. You know?
Yeah, with all the revenue streams that are open to Spurs, it feels like exploiting its hardworking fans is the one that sucks the most. And feels deeply, deeply unnecessary. You know, we've not had the stadium naming rights since the stadium opened because of presumably chasing the best deal. If they'd taken the hit and got a slightly lesser deal, think of the money they'd have generated on that, which I'd have hated, by the way. I'm not looking forward to our stadium being named after a brand or product.
New White Hart Lane.
But I prefer that to this.
You have been listening to The Extra Inch with me, Windy, my sidekick and best friend, Barney, and our tactics guy, Nathan Aklar. If you like this, there's plenty more at patreon.com/TheExtraInch. Production is by Nathan Aklar. Our logo, artwork and website are designed by Creighton Miller. Our music is by David Lindmer. You can find him on Instagram at David Lindmer. Do check him out. He's great. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Extra Inch. Email us at podcast@theextrainch.co.uk. Subscribe, leave us a rating and a review. And most importantly, be sure to tell all of your Spurs friends. Shout out to the ex-subs. We love every single last one of you. And of course, come on you Spurs.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.